We begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Kuf. We begin two lines down from the bottom of the Amud on Tzadik Tes Amud Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the Melacha Vaitzah. And one of the most important fundamentals of the Melacha Vaitzah is that there have to be two components, one Nakira and one Anacha. You have to pick it up from someplace and put it down in another place. And that's a prerequisite to be chayiv, and if two people do it, then that's Shnayim Sha'asu, but each of these two components are the important factors in the Melacha Vaitzah. So the Gemara begins, Amar Rava. Pshitali, mayim agabi mayim, haynu hanachasim. It's obvious to me, Rabbi says, that if you have water on top of water, which that's how water stands, you have all the liquid that's flowing on top of the other part of the liquid. We just see it as one mass, but it's really water on top of water. That is its regular form of placement. And therefore, if you would take some water out from what's the water that's on top of the bottom water and take it out into a different domain, that would be considered haitzah because it was placed down. And now when you picked it up, it was an akira. You uprooted it from where it originally was placed. It was a hanocha. Because if it wasn't, if it was in motion, then you never did an akira because it was already picked up from where it was before. So he says, obvious to me that the water is considered like it's in one place, it's static. And then you picked it up, you made an akira. However, a nut on top of water, we continue on to the top of Kofa Medalf, love hain on nuchasim. That is not the state of placement of that nut because it's flowing in the water, it's not staying in one place. And therefore, if you're going to take the nut from the water, that's not considered nakiri. You didn't pick it up because it was never staying in one place. It has to have an hanacha first to have an akira that you could then do an akira and then an hanacha. So therefore, nut on top of water is not. Water on top of water is considered as it's in its original place. And therefore, by the water you take it out, you will be chayav netzah versus the nut not. However, the question is as follows. Boi Rabba. Ego is bekliv, klit saf agabi mayim mahu. What is the halacha if a nut is in a vessel and that vessel is floating on top of the water? What is the halacha over there? And here it gets complicated. Do we say that we what are we looking at? The object that we're defining here for that, so we go, the nut is what you're carrying and that is placed because that's not moving. That is in the bowl, which is stationary in contrast to the nut. And therefore, when you're going to take out the nut, you will be liable. Or maybe do you say that what we're viewing over here is the object is the vessel. And the vessel is not stationary because that is on the water that is moving. Similar to a person in the car. A person is stationary in the car, but the car is not stationary in regards to the road. So the question was, here when you're taking out this nut that's in the vessel, do we view it as the nut? Because that's the object that you're transferring, or do we look at it in the larger picture, and since the vessel that it's in is not stationary, therefore you're going to be potter. Nothing more says take or let it stand. It's not clear which is the object that defines if it's stationary to say that now when you're picking it up, you're making a new akira. A similar type of a situation. The Gemara says, Shemen agabi yayin, when there's oil floating on top of wine, and this is related to the halachas of Shabbos, as we just mentioned, regarding if it's considered an akira to be over an ha'itzah to later then do a hanocha. Malchikis Reb Yechim ben Nuri v'rabbanan. This comes into the question of machlekes between Reb Yechim and Nuri, if we view them as one liquid or as two different liquids. And that will pertain to the question of hanocha. If we see it as one liquid, then we see like when water is on top of water. This is its place, it's stationary, although it's moving, but it's in one object, it's one mass. Whereas if we see it as two different liquids, then we'll see that no, the oil that's on top of the wine is really floating on something else. It's not in its stationary position. As the Gemara brings, that now we learn the Mishnah, Shemen, regarding oil of Truma, should suffer gabayan that's floating on top of wine of Truma. And then the Tful Yoim, which is somebody that became Tummy, but he already immersed himself in the mikvah, but he has to wait for the evening after Harav Shemesh, but says Chavim, to become pure. So now this Tful Yoim went and touched the oil. And the reason why we picked the Tful Yoim is because what he touches becomes pusle, but he doesn't make it Tummy. And the difference is, therefore, what he's touching here is the oil, only the oil will become pusle, whereas if he was Tummy, so then either way, the wine would become pusle, because even if he's touching the oil and the oil becomes Tummy, something Tummy can then go ahead and take it one step further to make something pusle, which is invalid. When you make something pusle invalid, that it itself becomes invalid, but it doesn't transmit the Tummy further. But if you make something Tummy, now it could go ahead and transmit one more later, which that later one would become pusle, so therefore, we're necessarily picking a case of a Tful Yoim. So if this Tful Yoim, who can only transfer one more, which is to make something possible, not to make something tummy that could make something else possible, he touched the oil. So the Tanakhama says, "Achamasei loy pasul l'shemen." He only invalidates the oil. And the reason is because we don't view the oil and the wine as connected to say that they're one. Whereas if it would have been a case of someone that's tummy, not a Tful Yoim, so he would have made the oil tummy, and even though it's not connected to the wine, but then the oil would have at least pasal that would have invalidated the wine. So therefore, that's why we picked the case of Tefil Yoyim. And the Chacham say that the only thing that becomes pasal is going to be the oil and not the wine, because we don't view them as connected. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri Yoyimer, no, Shneim Chibur Zeh L'Zeh, they're both considered connected one to the other, and therefore we view them as one item. And therefore, even the wine becomes pasal, because when you touch one thing, the whole object, you don't touch every surface area of it, the whole thing becomes pasal. And therefore, regarding the halachas of Shabbos, the same thing will apply to this machlekes, that according to the Rabbanan, we view it as a case of a nut on top of water. And that is, we don't see it as it's stationary. Just like the nut's not stationary on top of the water. Here also, we view it as the oil and the wine as two separate things. And therefore, the oil is not going to be stationary. Whereas regarding to Rabbi Yochanan, that we would view it like water on top of water, that it is stationary because that's its thing. It's one item of water. Here also, since he views the oil and the wine as one item, therefore, if you would scoop up the oil that's on top of the wine and then take it out, it would be considered like you did in the Kira and then later Hanocha, and therefore you would be chayiv on the Malacha of Eitzah regarding this case of oil floating on top of wine. So now, regarding an issue that came up on the previous daf, regarding a concept called Siluk Mechitza V'Hanocha Ke'echad, regarding if, let's say, a person would take a chulya, a clod of earth, and then throw it into a pit, he's in Rosh Hashanah, in public domain, throws it into a pit that's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim squared in the width. And that's exactly the minimum measurement of Rosh Hashanah, a private domain. Now he takes the clod and transports it into the private domain. But as he puts it down, as it lands there, it suddenly diminished the measurement of the Rosh Hashanah, making it not a Rosh Hashanah anymore. So the question was, is he going to be chayiv or not? Do you say he's chayiv because he transported it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah? Or do you say that the actual time when he became chayiv for the hanach of placing it into Rosh Hashanah, it wasn't Rosh Hashanah anymore, because then there was what's called a silik mechitza. There was no more walls of ten tefachim, because now that the klod is here, the earth, the floor of the earth got higher of the pit, and now there's only walls 9 tefachim deep, and therefore maybe you're going to be pater. And that, related to that discussion, Omar Abaye, Abaye says, Berbish Hasarab Mamuka Asara V'Rechav Ishmein. If you have a pit in the public domain that's 10 tefachim deep and it's 8 tefachim wide, v'zark l'techa machtzav, and then he throws a mat into there, so chayv, so he's liable. Of course, it's a Rosh Hashayachid. It's more than 4 tefachim wide and it's 10 tefachim deep, so he's going to be chayv. However, chilka b'machtzelas, if as he threw in the mat went straight down the middle and split the pit in half, then Patur is going to be exempt. And the reason why we brought in this halacha of Abaye was regarding the last halacha that he says, to say that if he splits the pit with this mat, he's going to be exempt, which comes to teach us this idea that if you're placing down the object, the hanacha of it happens at the same time as what's called the silik mechitza, that the walls are going to be taken away, because now you don't have any more a four tefachim squared, because when you split the machtzelos is at least somewhat of a width, and it was only 8 tefachim wide. Now you have 4 on one side, 4 on one side, but you have less than 4 because the machtzelos, the mat itself, takes up some space. So now you have less than 4 tefachim width on either side. So therefore, when it landed, it wasn't landing in the Rosh Hashayachid. Therefore, you're going to be pater. And here, the idea that Abaye is saying is that the taking away the walls says you don't have 4 on either side. Therefore, you're going to be pater. So the Gemara comments that Labaye de pshit delay the machtzelos mevat lemechitza. According to Abaye, that to him it was obvious that this mat nullifies the walls of the bar, because although it was Rosh Hashanah before it landed, but as it landed, it nullified the wall, and therefore you're going to be potter. So Koshkin Chulya Demavat Mechitza is obviously the case of that we had on the previous staff, which was a question Rabbi Yochanan had posed, the case we used to explain before, when you take a clod of earth and you throw it into a pit that's 10 tefachim deep, that there it's definitely going to be Mevatel the Mechitza, and you're going to be potter. Because there you're abandoning the clod of earth there in the ground, and therefore definitely becomes like the earth was elevated, and it's not going to become a Rosh Hashanah. It's no more Rosh Hashanah, and there you're going to be potter. However, Rabbi Yechanan, but according to Rabbi Yechanan on the previous staff, that he asked this question regarding Chuli, he didn't know which way to say. That when you say the clod of earth landed in the pit, do you say that it was Rosh Hashanah, so therefore his anocha is chayim? And only later do we say that the walls are undone because now the floor is higher? Or do you say, no, it happened at the same time, and he's going to be potter? So he wasn't clear about that. So machtzelos pshita d'lo mevat mechitzasa. And that is, even if Rabbi Yochanan had such an option to say, that like the tzad that said that since it happens at the same time, it's going to be potter, here definitely he would say, yeah, you're going to be chayiv, because you're not going to be mevatel the item, this mat that's there, you're not leaving there forever, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. So on this topic, the Gemara continues, v'om Abaye, another statement from Abaye, regarding a pit in the public domain that's 10 tefachim deep and it's 4 tefachim squared in the width, but maleim mayim, it's filled with water. Then you throw something from Rishus Rabbim inside, something that lands, that like a rock or water, and it lands inside. So the halacha is chayiv, is going to be liable. And we don't say that since it's filled with water, it's not a Rishus Yachid, and that it's mevatel the mechitzas because you don't have any more walls, because just like you fill up with earth, it's filled up and now it's just regular ground. And here the water, you would say possibly that it's filled up to the top, so therefore there's no more walls. We say no, we say we see it as a pit that's full, that's 10 tefachim deep, and the water is not being mevatel the walls. However, malei peiris v'zork l'teicha pata. But if you fill it up with produce and you throw something in this pit, then you're going to be exempt because now we don't see. We see the floor much higher because the produce is taking up space from the bottom, and now there's only 8 tvachim or 5 tvachim of the depth of this pit because the peiris fill up the bottom and there's no more floor over there to have walls on there. To which the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason? What is the difference between water that we see it as a pit, although the water is filling it up, but by produce we don't? So the Gemara says, "Mayim loy mevat mechitzasa." The water does not negate, does not nullify the walls. Peiris mevat mechitzasa, but the produce nullifies the walls. Because when it's full with produce, we view it as if it's filled up with earth. This is a solid item that we don't see anymore. The floor, got higher with the produce, and therefore you're going to be putter. Whereas by the water, we see the walls. The walls are in existence, and we see it. Although it's filled up with this liquid, still you're going to be chayv. We view it as a reshus hayachid. The Gemara says, Tanya Mahoch is similar to the Braisa, that water is not mevatel the walls. Although other things like solids, we said we view it as the floor got higher and therefore it's not reshus hayachid, water is different, as the Gemara brings from a Braisa. Hazerk min hayam lisaratya. If someone throws from a sea into a highway, and that is from a carmelis, because the sea we have at Halacha as a carmelis, it's not a reshus hayachid because it doesn't have the domain of 10 tvachim high and 4 tvachim squared, and it's not a reshus haram either because the 600,000 people don't pass there. So it's a carmelis, but then you throw it into a highway which is a reshus harabim, or from a highway into the sea, then potter, then you potter, because you're not chayev on a chatas to be even is a deraisa from a carmelis to a reshus harabim, because carmelis is only a rabbinic domain. However, Shimon Aimer, im yesh b'mokim shazarak amek asar v'rach v'abba, if in the area into the sea where you threw, there was an area that is 10 tvachim deep and 4 tvachim squared in the width, then chayv, then you're going to be liable. That is, Shimon says, if in the water, in the sea, where you throw it, there's a pit that's just there that has its own area that's 10 tvachim deep and 4 tvachim squared, it will give it the status of a reshus hayachid, and that will be considered designated separately then from the rest of the sea, in spite of the fact that the rest of the sea is very deep. So therefore, what you hear from Rabbi Shimon, bringing proof that we brought the brayse in for, is that water is not mevatel the mechitzas. And therefore, we will give that pit in the middle of the sea a status of reshus hayachid, although it's filled up with water. So that's the same concept that we say, the maim is not mevatel mechitzas. Whereas by other things, when it fills it up, it will say that the walls are shorter now because the floor got higher. And that's the questions that came up regarding if it happens at the same time, do we say that silk mechitzas and the hanocha b'hadi adadi or not? That would you be potter or going to be chayav? So now we continue with the next Mishnah that continues on this theme of throwing in Rosh Hashanah. So we had this Mishnah a few times in the previous Staffim. The Mishnah begins, Hazarik arba amas b'kaisav. Someone throws something, 4 amas, and it lands on the wall. So it depends. L'mayla masar tvachim, if he threw it and it landed on the wall higher than 10 tvachim, kizarik ba'avis, like he threw it in the ear, and he's going to be potter, because the domain of Rosh Hashanah only is up until 10 tvachim. And now that it landed higher, so it stayed there, so now you're potter, because it didn't have a hanoch in Rosh Hashanah. If it landed lower than 10 tvachim, it's like you threw it on the ground, and therefore it's stuck on the wall, 8 tvachim high from the ground. It's in the domain of Rosh Hashanah. That is the hanacha against the wall. Then the Mishnah concludes, whoever throws something 4 amis in the Rosh Hashanah, he's going to be liable. That's havara, that's called passing something through in Rosh Hashanah. That's a terlada of the chiv of etzah, taking from one domain to another domain. So now the Gemara asks, on this case that we said that if it lands on the wall, you're going to be chayiv if it's lower than 10 tefachim. But it never landed, because when you throw something on the wall, it bounces right back. So if you threw it 4 amas, now it didn't end up 4 amas away. It ends up within 4 amas, because it bounces back. So why are you chayiv? And the Gemara says, we're talking about a sticky fig cake. And that is, it does stay on the wall. Therefore, it traveled 4 amas because it sticks against the wall. And that's why you're chayv for throwing 4 amas in Rosh Hashanah if it lands lower than 10 tvachim. So, someone tell Mishnah, the Gemara brings, Zamar Yehuda Merav Amar B'chiyah. Zarek Lamayla Ma'asara. If someone throws something higher than 10 tvachim, V'holcha V'nocha B'chur Kolshu, and then it lands in a small little hole in the wall. So, it's not like the sticky fig that sticks against the wall, but rather it goes and lands in a little crevice. So then, banu l'machlekes Ramei Rabban, that brings us to machlekes between Ramei and Rabban, that they argue on the concept called chokekim l'hashem. Do we carve out the area, which is, let's say, a wall, and you have a smaller hole, do we carve it out to fill the measurement that's necessary, which is brought in the first parak in Yuma and Masechet Erevin, as the Gemara explains. According to Ramea that says that we carve out the area of potential area, which is, let's say, the wall, which has mass, and there's a hole. We say we carve it out in halachic theory to complete the measurement that's necessary, then you're going to be liable. And therefore, because since here there's room to carve out, there's more area in the wall, we're going to say you're liable. We see the hole as if it's 4 tefachim wide. And therefore, since it's 10 tefachim above the ground, and although the hole is much smaller, but we see it as it's bigger, because the hole is just the opening, and we call, what do we do? It's called chaykin lahashem. We view it as if we carve it out to complete the measurement as if it's really 4 tefachim in the width. However, the Rabbanan Dami ain't chaykin lahashem le'mechai. According to Rabbanan, that say that we don't say this idea about carving out to complete it. No, the hole is only 2 tefachim or 1 tefach, whatever it is. And this it'll land it inside. You're going to be potter because the idea is you didn't have a rishus ayachar over here. The Rishus HaYachad, although it's 10 tefachim high, but it has to have a width. It has to have an area of 4 tefachim, and that you don't have because it's only a small little hole in the wall. The Gemara says, Tanya Hoch is similarly in the Braisa, that this case that we said is the machlokes between Ramei and Rabban. Zerk lamayla ma'asara v'holcha v'nocha b'chul kosher. Again, the case, if you threw something higher than 10 tefachim and it landed in a small little hole in a crevice in the wall, Ramei ha'machayev v'cham paitim, Ramei hold it, Yolai ha'macham hold it, your potter, again, like we said, because that's based on the concept, if you say chaykin lahashlim or not. So another statement from the same Amur, in a similar type of a context. Amr Yehuda Amar Rav, Tal ha-mislaket asor mitoich arba, a mound that accumulates to a height of 10 tefachim within an area of 4 amas. And that is, if there's a height of 10 tefachim that a Rishus HaYachad have to be. But it's within, it's on the slope, that it gets to 10 tefachim only in the distance of the lateral of 4 amas. And then Vizark v'nochal gabav chayiv, and then someone goes and throws something on top of this mound, he's going to be liable. As we explained that this mound that gathered, it was on the slope, and it goes slowly until it reaches 10 tefachim height through an area of 4 amas. So that is in halacha what we're saying, that you're liable as if it was a straight wall up, and we view it as a Rishus HaYachad because of its height. And if you throw from Rishus Ram and it goes under, you're going to be chayv because it went from Rishus Ram to Rishus HaYachad. However, that's dafka if it went in the area of 4 amas. However, if let's say it only gathered to a height of 10 tefachim through an area of 5 amas, that's how the slope had to be. It has to be through the lateral of 5 amas, not 4 amas. Then we're going to say then you're going to be potter, because then we view that area as part of the rest of Rishus Ram, which is very easy to traverse, to go on. And therefore, of course, areas are always going up 10 tefachim, but it's not at such a steep slope, and therefore 5 amas is not such a steep slope, and therefore we say that although it's 10 tefachim high, it's part of Rishus Ram. But if it's such an incline, which is only within 4 amas that it went up to 10 tefachim, then we'll see that as if it was straight up, and therefore we'll view that as an independent area and the area of Rishus HaYachad. Tanya Hamochi, similarly, the Gemara says, you learn the Braisa, the same concept. Mavoi Sheshova LaToich, regarding a Mavoi, which is, so to speak, like a Ches, that has all the different courtyards that open up into this like street, which is enclosed in 3 areas, but the fourth one is opened into the Rishus HaRab. So regarding this Mavi, where Mavi generally requires a Lechi or a Kaira, a side post or a beam to show that it's a separate area from the Rishus HaRab, and therefore that will allow you, it's called Shituf and Mavoi, that they're all joined together, similar to the concept of an Eruv, and you'll be able to carry over there. However, this Mavi that's level on the inside, but Vinasa Midrun Rishus HaRab, but it becomes a slope going to the Rishus HaRab, or the reverse. A Yishav Rishus HaRab, or the Mavi itself, is equal to Rishus HaRab, but Vinasa Midrun L'Toicha, but it becomes a slope going inside of it. That is, the ground of either that the ground of the Mavi was higher than the ground of Rishus HaRab. So you have Rishus HaRab here, and then it had to go on the slope to go into the Rishus HaRab, to go down, or that it was the same as Rishus HaRab, but then it went slope inside of it. Either way, regarding these cases, that it's equal on one, but then it's a slope to get into the other one, then Oysam Mavi in the Tzorch Leilech B'Lekar. So that Mavi does not require a side post or a beam. And the reason is because that height itself that's by the open side, which is not enclosed to the wall, is considered a wall because of the, although it's at a slope, but since it's at a slope within 4 amas, we're going to view it as a wall itself. So if here's the Rishus HaRab and here's the area where all the houses are, the courtyard, since it goes up, we're going to view it, since it goes up at a height of 10 tefachim, although it's within the area of 4 amas, we're going to view that as a wall, which is the same concept that we're trying to say. And that's why you don't have to have a lechi or a kara. So the Braisa concludes, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, a halacha that we just mentioned before, Talamis Lakat, the Sermon Teich Arba, regarding a mound that accumulates for 10 tvachim within 4 amis, which is the concept behind this halacha of the mavi, bezark nachag above chayim, and then you throw and it lands on top of it, you're going to be liable. Again, the same concept that if it goes within 4 amis, we view it as a straight up wall. If it's more than 4 amis, 5, 6 amis, then we see that as part of the shasaram, and then therefore you're going to be put to be thrown on top of it. And similarly regarding the mavi, then you would need to have a lech in the courage to show there's a difference between the mavi and the shasaram. So now, continuing on this theme, the next mission begins. Zark l'tech dalad amis. If someone throws something within the area of 4 amis, and that would not make one liable because you have to have a zrika of at least 4 amis. So this was within 3 amis or 2 amis, but v'neskalgul chutz dal amis. Then it rolled out of 4 amis. What's the halach over there? Then you put your exempt because your throwing was only within 4 amis. However, chutzal dalad amis, but if you threw it outside of dalad amis, but v'neskalgul tech dal amis, then it rolled into 4 amis, so it landed inside the area, still chai be going to be liable. And that is, we're not talking about that it actually landed outside, then it rolled inside, because that we wouldn't have to say. That's obvious. It landed there, and then it rolled inside. You still threw 4 amis. Rather, the concept we're talking about here is that the wind blew it in, inside 4 amis, even before it actually landed. And still, in spite of the fact that it landed within 4 amis, since when you threw it out, as the Gemara is going to elaborate on this, exactly what happened when it was there in the ear, but since, even though it came back, since you threw it out of 4 amis, you're going to be chayv. So the Gemara asked this question, but it never landed outside of 4 amis. It didn't fall on the ground. And therefore, why do you say that you're going to be chayiv if it lands within 4 amis? Because you threw it outside, but you never had the hanocha out of 4 amis. So Amr Birchin qualifies this halacha, and he says, "Behusha nocha gabi mashu." It did land, it didn't make a complete land, but it landed on something, either a small little post, and then it rolled inside the 4 amis. But the same thing would be, even if it was just the wind was holding it for a few seconds, and then it came back in, that would also be considered hanocha if it was within 3 tvachim from the ground. We know 3 tvachim, related to the concept of lava, that 3 tvachim from the ground, we view it as the ground. So although it never really landed, but since it stayed there for a few seconds, and then it came back in, we view it as actually it was hanocha, and that's why you're going to be chayiv, in spite of the fact that it never had a real landing, and that it came and only landed within four amas. Tanya Mahoch, similarly we learned in the Braisa, this concept that it has to have somewhat of a landing, but not a real landing, and then even if it lands within 4 amis, you're going to be chayv, which is, Zark chutzal dal amis. The Braisa says, if you throw something outside of 4 amis, v'dachvas ha'ruch, and then the wind pushes it, and when it's still in the ear, v'echnisas, and it brings it inside 4 amis, so then, then even if it goes back and then brings it out again, the wind blew it one way and then blows it out, pot is going to be exempt. And that is because his hanocha was never really outside of 4 amis. It was only inside of 4 amis because the wind ultimately brought it in. However, if the wind held it for just a little bit in its place when it was outside of 4 amis, then even if it ultimately ended up bringing it back inside 4 amis, he's going to be liable. And that's the same concept that we said, that as long as it landed on something, a little post, or even stood there for a few seconds, and then it came back in. So even though ultimately the hanocha was within 4 amis, you're going to be chayv because we view that staying there within three tefachim from the ground or touching a post is considered hanocha to be chayv on. So on this topic, Amar Rava says that's not so simple. Toich Gimli says within 3 tefachim from the ground, l'rabban, according to the rabbanon, that which rabbanon are these? So Rashi explains is the rabbanon that Aga and Rabbi Kiva on Tzadizayim and Alf regarding throwing something from one private domain to another private domain, passing through a Rishus Rabbim in the middle, that they don't agree to the concept of klut to kamisha uncha, that since it's contained in the airspace, it's as if it landed. So he says, according to the rabbanon, even within 3 tefachim from the ground, tzarcha nocha gabi mashu, it would still require being placed on at least something minute, to be considered it to be chayiv on. Because they don't say that when we said that within 3 tefachim, they're going to agree that it's even within 3 tefachim. It has to have at least that it landed on something. And therefore, if it passes through a shusar abim totally, even within 3 tefachim, they're going to be potter. And another nafkamina Rashi tells us regarding throwing something 4 amis in Rosh Hashanah. And when it comes to land, and it gets within 3 tefachim from the ground, but then he remembers that inadvertently he had done this that's wrong to do on Shabbos to travel 4 amis, and this was before it landed, he's going to be exempt. As we see in the Mishnah on Daf Kav Beis Amud Aleph, that for Hilcha Shabbos to be chayiv, you have to have Achtei Tchilasa B'Seif Hashgaga. You have to have that the entire act was done inadvertently. And we don't say that up until he remembered that it was if it was placed down. No, even if it's within 3 tefachim, and he remembers, and therefore, according to Rabbanan, you're going to be potter because it has to have also landing on something. It's not enough just to be within 3 tefachim. So the Gemara says that Yosef Mirema become a Lalosh Maitza. Mirema was sitting, he was sitting with this teaching from Rabbah that even within three tefachim, as we were speaking about, that it goes outside and the ear holds it for a few seconds within three tefachim, that you're going to be chayiv. Rabbah says, according to Rabbanan, it's not enough. We don't say the ear space as if it's as if it landed. It has to have been placed on something, even something very minute, at least for a few seconds. So he was saying this halacha. Amalei Ravina Mirema. So Ravina said to Mirema, who was saying this halacha, and continue on Tamid Beis, Lav Hainu Masnidin, isn't this case the case of our Mishnah? V'am Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said to explain our Mishnah, B'husha Nocha Gabi Mashu, that as long as it landed on something, as our Mishnah taught us, that if you throw something outside of four amas, and then it rolled back inside, we said you're going to be chayiv. So Rabbi Yochanan gave an explanation, what does that mean? It never landed outside, why are you chayiv? You didn't have anocha outside of four amas. So Rabbi Yochanan says that it did land. It landed on something even a Mashu, but it had something, and then it came back in. So the inference is, but if it didn't land, it would not be chayiv. From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan didn't say a bigger chiddush of a case, that no, it didn't land on anything, but it just came within three tefachim from the ground. So therefore, what are we saying over this halacha? It's obvious that we already have this in the explanation of our Mishnah, so why do we need Rabbi to say this halacha? We see this, that even if it's within three tefachim, and then it would come back in, it would not be considered like a had anacha, that it has to have anacha agabi mashu. So why do we need Rabbi if this is already inferred from our Mishnah? So Amalei said to him, Miskalgul Kamrit, are you asking me on Rava from the explanation of something that's rolled? That's something that the wind rolled it in back into within four amas? Miskalgul ain't seifu lanuach. Something that's rolling, that the wind is taking it, it's not inevitable, it's not ultimately going to land somewhere. And therefore, there we could say that even though it's within three tefachim and it came back in, we don't see it as if it was placed down because the wind could take it anywhere. Aval hai, kivin seifu lanuach, regarding this case, where ultimately it's going to land. And he just remembered before it landed, said, I would still say that even if it didn't land, it's as if it already landed. And therefore, since we're going to say that it's landed, because it's ultimately going to land there, even when it at least came within three tefachim, therefore maybe there I would say that you are chayiv. And even if you remember beforehand that, oh yeah, I did this by mistake, it would still be considered like you did the beginning to the end, because the hanoch already happened. That's the chiddush of Rava, to tell you that you still would need to have hanocha on something, even for that type of case. Because although from Rabbi Yochanan in explaining our Mishnah L'chari, he says the same halacha, that's different, because there it's not ultimately going to land, so therefore we don't view it within the three tefachim as if it landed already. But when it's something that we see inevitably that it is landing here, so when it gets within that area, we view it as love and as if it landed already, that I would have said on that Rabbi Rava saying that even in that case, it has to have landed on something, and if it comes back in, as the case of our Mishnah, that you're going to be putter if it didn't land at least on a mashu, on something, according to the opinion of Rabbanan, that don't hold up klutu kumishoncha, that if it's contained in the airspace, it's as if it landed. So now we continue with the next Mishnah, again talking about Haitzah, but specifically regarding Haitzah in relation to the Yam, to the seas. So the Mishnah begins, Hazarik b'yam arba amas patav. Someone throws something in a sea four amas, so he's exempt because a yam is not a rishos rab, it's not a rishos yachid, it's a karmelis, and therefore you're not chayav for havara of four amas, that's only rishos rab, and this is a karmelis. However, regarding water, im hayurakak mayim, if there was a shallow pool, v'rishos rab ma'aleches bay, and the public domain passes through this shallow pool of water. So then, Hazarik L'Techa Dal Ram is Chayiv. Someone that throws something from Rishus Rab into it is going to be liable because we view it as part of Rishus Rab. We don't see it as if he threw it from Rishus Rab into a Kamalist, as we said regarding a sea. Here, since the public walks through it, even in spite of the fact that it's a shallow pool, we view it as part of Rishus Rab. There'd be Chayiv for transporting something for Amos in Rishus Rab. To which the Gemara asks, V'kamahur kak mayim. How much is a shallow pool of water? In other words, how deep can it be that we'll say that we still view it as part of Rishus Rab and that it didn't become a Kamalist like the sea? To which the Mishnah answers, Pochas Masar Tfachim. If it's less than 10 Tfachim deep, then we view it as still part of the Rishus Rab. And then the Mishnah concludes, which seems redundant, which the Gemara is going to address, again, Rekak Mayim or Rishus Rab Mahalachas, but regarding a shallow pool of water and that the public walks through it, Hazarik B'Techad Al Amas Chayv, someone that throws something for Amas inside of it is going to be liable again because we view it as a Rishus Rabim and not as a Kamas. To which the Gemara asks, so one of the Rabban asked to Rava, I don't understand, why did you repeat it? It's redundant. We said the same exact words twice. But I understand one part of it, but the other part I have difficulty. It says, Bishloima, Hiluch, Hiluch, Trezim. I understand why we said the concept of passes through two times. And that is, We said two times the words Rishus HaReb Ma'alechas Boy. We had, although something is a rakak mayim, it's a pool of water, but since the public domain walks by it, which is called Hiluch, that they pass through it, I understand why they said the halacha in the Mishnah two times. Because one time it's coming to teach you that if the rabbi doesn't go through it, then you're patzik, because then we don't view it as Rishus HaReb. But if they're customarily they go through it, then you're going to be chayv, even though it's a very difficult, you know, passage because it's full of water, but since they walk through it, so we view it as part of Rishus HaReb. That's why I said it one time. And then it said again another time to tell you that it's only hiluch ha'idehaz chak shmeh hiluch. That is, walking through something that's difficult, we'll view it as the place where they traverse, where they travel. But something called tashmish l'rabim, but a usage for things that they could utilize it for an area that's challenging. For example, if you have a pit that's 9 tefachim deep, even though you can go ahead and put stuff there, in spite of the fact that it's a public domain, you could put your different kerchiefs and everything over there, that we would not view it as a usage. To say that it's that the pit is we're going to say that it has halacha of Rishus HaRabim, similar to a beam that's 10 tefachim high, that we say that since the public, they go ahead and they use it to adjust their packages for their shoulders, as we say in the first parak, that we view it as a Rishus HaRabim. Here we're not going to say that even though it's 9 tefachim deep and you could put stuff in there, that's going to be considered as a usage for the Rishus HaRabim, as the Gemara explains. So I know why you say this hiluch, this passing through of the public, that the public passes through in an area which is not so convenient, this shallow pool of water. I know why you say two times, as the Gemara says, Hakamashma, it's called coming to teach us, as we just explained, that hiluch alidea tchak shmei hiluch, that the passage that's challenging is still considered passage, and therefore, although it's challenging to walk through a shallow pool of water, but we view it as Rishus HaRabim because they do walk through there. And therefore, if you throw something 4 amas in that area, you threw 4 amas in Rishus HaRabim. And the second time where we repeated it is also to tell you that only hiluch ha'ideh ha'tchak shmei hiluch, only passage that's challenging that we view it as the public uses it and walks through it. But tashmash ha'ideh ha'tchak lo yishmei tashmash. But usage through challenging, that we don't view as usage, although the public can use it and put stuff in a pit that's 9 tefachim deep, whatever it is, that we don't view. And therefore, for that case, we're going to say it won't be considered Rishus HaRabim. That's why we said hiluch, one time for the hiluch itself, to say that passage that's challenging is considered Rishus HaRabim. Another one to infer, but only passing, but not for usage. However, el rekak rekat trades him nilamali. But what's difficult to me is, why do we have to, the other variable of that case from the Mishnah, why do we have to say the shallow pool concept two times? And that is, we could have said another difficult traversing of traveling that's challenging. Why a shallow pool of water? Pick something else that it would be challenging for the public to walk through. And in spite of that it's challenging, we view it as Rishus HaRabim. Why necessarily the shallow pool of water? We already said that case. Pick a different case to show that although it's challenging, we'll still view it as Rishus HaRabim. And that the Gemara, and that he answered him, the Rava answered, that we needed both cases of even the shallow pool of water. And that is, Chad b'mayis hachama, v'chad b'mayis hagsham utzrich. We have to tell you once during the summer months of the shallow pool of water, and another time for the winter month. And that is, d'itan chada, if I would have said only one time, the rekak, havamina, I would have thought, hanemila b'mayis hachama, when did we say that the traveling through the shallow pool of water will view as Rishus HaRabim because they do travel through there? That's only in the summer months. David inchi de miski la kuri nafshe, because people will travel through a shallow pool of water to cool themselves off. And therefore will view walking through the shallow pool of water, the rakak mayim, as a hiluch and subsequently as Rishus HaRabim. But in the winter months, I would say not, because people are cold and not cooling themselves up with the water. It's maybe even icy. So there are people not going to walk through it. And therefore, during the winter, maybe the rakak mayim we will not view as a Rishus HaRabim. That's why we had to say it twice. And in the reverse, v'yashmin v'maisek shomei, if we would only say the case of the winter months, so I would have thought, d'kivin d'mit nefi lo'ech b'slu, since they're dirty anyways, I'm dirty from the winter because it's not clean and crisp, the air, it's rainy and snowy and dirty and muddy, so therefore I'm dirty anyway, I'll walk through the puddle of water. But during the summer months where you're not dirty, then maybe the public would not walk through a shallow pool of water. That's why we needed it to tell you twice, the rekak mayim, to say that both in the summer and in the winter, the public will walk through it, and therefore we'll give it a status of a Rishus HaRabim. That's one approach, why it says the rekak twice. The second teretz in the Gemara is Abaya Amar Itzach. We had to say both times. Silkadei dechamina, I would have thought to say Hanamile Heichadu LaHavad Al Rames, that I would only say this that will give the rakak a status of Rishus HaRabim only if that rakak of the shallow pool of water is not 4 amas wide, where there it's not so difficult to walk through it, and it's easier to walk through it than to go around it to the top where it ends over there. But where it is four Amis, so it's a very big journey through it, then I'd rather go around to it, and therefore we have to say it twice to say that even when it's at least four Amis wide, still people will walk through it, and therefore even then we'll give it a status of Rishas Ra. The third and final test the Gemara gives to resolve why we repeated it twice, Ravashi Yom HaItzach, we have to say it twice. Because I would have thought to say that when did we say that we give the shallow pool of water the status of Rishas Rabbim, Heichad Ahav Adalet. That's if it's four Tfachim. Where there, it's not the derech for people to jump so far, and they'd rather they're going to walk through it. But I would have thought to say that if it's not four Tfachim, that people are going to just step over it instead of walking through it, because you can walk a distance of four Tfachim, and maybe then we won't give it a status of Rishas Rabbim. And that's why we have to tell you two times to tell you that no matter what the case is, even if it's like the second Teretz of the Gemara, if it's four or more, or four then less, like the third Teretz in the Gemara, either way, we're going to give it a status of Rishas Rabbim. So the Gemara concludes and says, "Va'az Rav Ashi l'tame." This teretz, last teretz of Rav Ashi, is Rav Ashi according to his opinion that although some people definitely will walk over the shallow pool of water, that since still many of the public will walk through it, will give it a status of Rishas Rabbim, as we find elsewhere. Damar Rav Ashi, he says, "Hayman dezarik v'noch agudu degalim." Someone throws something and it lands on the plank of the bridge. And that is on the plank of the bridge that's on it's placed on the width of the bridge, like all the other boards of the bridge, but it's a little bit separated from the rest of the planks. So the halacha is mechayv that is liable. And even though some people will step over it, and they won't want to step on them because it's a little shaky, it's a little separated from the rest of the bridge, however, since there are many people that will walk on it, therefore mechayv, they're going to be liable, we view it as part of the bridge. And the reason is because many people still pass through it, and that's exactly like the case of Rukak that is explaining. When it's less than four tefachim, still, in spite of the fact that some people definitely will walk over it, because I could walk over, why should I walk through it? Since many people just walk through it, similar to the plank on the bridge, therefore you're going to be chayv, you're going to be liable. We continue with the next Mishnah, similar to the previous Mishnah, talking about throwing and related to a sea. Hazirik min hayam liyabasha, someone that throws from the sea onto dry land, which is from a carmelist again, that's the status of a sea, onto dry land, which is talking about a case of Rishas Rabbim. Umin hayabasha liyam, or from dry land to the sea, or a different case, min hayam lesvina, from the sea to a ship, which is from a carmelist to Rishas Hayachid, to a private domain. Umin hasvina liyam, or from the ship to the sea. Umin hasvina lechaver, or from one ship to another ship. All these cases, you're going to be part of because the status of a sea is a carmelist, and therefore those cases are going to be potter. And the case of the ship, you're also going to be potter. Svin, because they're both Rishas Hayachid. Svin is kashur zu bezu, mitatlam zu lezu. If you have boats that are tied one to the other, then you could carry from one to the other. And the Gemara is going to ask, yeah, it's obvious. It's both they're owned by one person, and both it's the Rishas Hayachid. So what's the problem? However, if they're not tied one to the other, then even if they're very close together, then you cannot carry from one ship to the other. And that is because we're concerned that if they're not tied together, they might separate, and then the sea, which is the carmelist, will be separating between the two ships, and then you might come to be passing from Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah with a carmelist intervening in the middle. And as Rashi tells us, the Gemara will explain this case he's talking about, that the ships are owned by two different people. And it's only through an Eruv that you could carry from one to the other, as whenever you have two Rishas Hayachids side by side, you have to make an Eruv HaChatzeres. And therefore the concern is when the ships separate, then you have a carmelist in between. So what's the problem? You're still going from Rishas Hayachid to Rishas Hayachid, passing over carmelist, which is not a problem. But since now that there's a carmelist passing through, but that separates the two of them because they're not connected with a Kesha, then it's going to be Mevatel the Eruv. Because now we don't see them connected anymore, because the carmelist in between. And since there's no carmelist, and since there's no Erev anymore, therefore, if you would carry from one to the other, then that would be a problem of Haitzah, because Midrabanon, you have to have the Ruv HaChatzeres, and you won't have that in such a case if the ships start drifting apart. So now the Gemara elaborates. We spoke about in the Mishnah of taking from a sea to a ship. So Itmar, we learned the following halacha. Svina, regarding a ship, if someone takes a journey on a ship on the seas, so Rav Huna says, regarding the halachas of Shabbos, and the thing is they had to have fresh water, they had to drink water on the ship, and now no matter how much you take along, you might run out. So therefore, if they're going over freshwater seas, how are you going to get the water from the sea onto the ship on Shabbos? So regarding that, we have a machlokes. Rav Huna says, Meitzin hemena ziz kolshu, you extend out of the ship a small little rod, out of the walls of the ship, over the water. And that's just as a, what's called a hekker, just as a sign to show that this we're doing something different, as the Gemara is going to explain. Umamala, and then you could fill up water from the sea and bring it onto the ship on Shabbos, and there's no problem. Rav Chizr, Rabbi Rav Hunamri, they both say, no. Isamakam arba umamali. You have to make an area of four tfachim squared and have that surrounded with small little walls. And although that's a mechitza tluya, although it's going to be hanging walls because it's not going down into the sea, but that permits in water that will view it as if the area underneath that is one big rishus hayachad that is coming out of the ship. The ship ends over here, and now you make walls, and that's an area of four tefachim, and we'll make walls, and now they're hanging over the sea. So now you could go ahead and take the bucket and draw it up from that area onto the boat on Shabbos. The Gemara explains these two opinions. Rav Huna that says that all you have to do is extend a small little rod outside and then you could fill up a bucket from that rod. Ksavar Karmelis mi Arameshkin. He holds that regarding an area of a Karmelis, which is a rabbinic area which the sea has such a status, that we measure from the ground of the Karmelis. And that is the 10 tfachim of ear space that the Chum said that it has the status of a Karmelis for Isser. And as the Gemara on the first paragraph of Zion says, that B'tefesis Ayud, just like Rosh Hashanah, has that area which is a kula. We give Karmelis the kulas, the leniencies of both Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, the leniency of Rosh Hashanah is that it only extends up to 10 tfachim. Higher than that is a Makam Tur. We don't view it as the area of Rosh Hashanah. So too, Karmelis. And that 10 tfachim, we measure from the ground of the sea. And therefore, the ear on top of that goes up to 10 tfachim. Even if it's water, it's going to be Makam Tur. And therefore, the area of the ground of the sea is definitely much lower. So therefore, the water that you're drawing from is from a Makam Tur. It's not really from a Karmelis, because the Karmelis is much lower down, 10 tfachim from the bottom of the floor of the sea. And therefore, as the Gemara says, Va'avir Makam Turhu, and according to Rav Huna's opinion, the ear is the ear space of Het, and therefore, it's totally mutter to go ahead and draw the water from the sea onto the ship because that's a makam turi. You're allowed to take from an exempt area which is above 10 tefachim Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, b'dinu d'ziz nami l'lbay, and truthfully said, you shouldn't even require this small little protrusion, this small little rod to go ahead and draw the water that way. The only reason why we required you to do this was to make a reminder. And that is that you shouldn't confuse it with a true Karmelis, which would be us to take from it, since the sea generally is a Karmelis, but since that's only lower down, so we made you have to make some type of a sign to show that really a Karmelis is us, but this is not a Karmelis because it's much higher than 10 tefachim, and then you could go ahead and draw the water. Rav Chizr, Rabbi Rav Huna Amri, that they say, that no, you have to make walls and have an area of four tefachim width, and then the walls, and then draw from that way. Kesarvi Karmelis Misvas Maya Mashkin. They say that you measure the Karmelis from the edge of the water. And that is because Maya Aris Michta, we view the water as if it's thick ground. We see it as it's the whole water is part of the Karmelis. We see that the ground of the almost have this the ground of the sea ends where the water ends, and that's the top surface of the Karmelis. And therefore, from there and up is where we start measuring the 10 tefachim. And therefore, Eloi Ovid Mokam Arba, if you didn't make these walls surrounding the boat and with a width of four tvachim, kumetal mekarmelis to Rosh Hashanah, you're going to be carrying from a karmelis to Rosh Hashanah because the height of the wall over the sea is not necessarily more than 10 tvachim. And therefore, since it's within the airspace of the karmelis, which starts on the surface of the water, you're going to be carrying from Rosh Hashanah from a karmelis to Rosh Hashanah. And that's why you have to make these four walls that we viewed as a Rosh Hashanah over the water going down to the ground. Related to the concept of Gorachis, it goes down to the ground, and therefore when you're drawing, you're taking from the Rosh Hashanah into this, it's in this area of the Rosh Hashanah. Now the Gemara asks on both opinions. That says that you can extend this small little rod and you can fill up. That is because it's higher than 10 tefachim from the ground of the sea, which is a makam term. But the question is, Zimnin de Lekasar, sometimes there won't be at the depth of the water 10 tefachim. And even if you're measuring from the ground of the sea, it's still going to be all Karmelis. That is, the water might be low down in where you're traveling. Maybe the water there is only 9 tefachim from the bottom of the sea. And therefore, if you're drawing water, you're taking from a Karmelis into Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, you're going to be chayv. You're going to be carrying from a Karmelis to Rosh Hashanah. Amalei, so he said to him, Gamrinan, we have a tradition, De'ein Tzvina Mahaleches Bepoches Masar. We know that ships do not travel in less than 10 tefachim of depth. And therefore, they won't travel. Then, but there's no such concern. There's never going to be such a case where the surface of the water is going to be within 10 tefachim of the ground. But then the Gemara still asks, "V'hamursha isla," but there's a protrusion that sticks out of the boat. That is, that the end of the boat goes and is elevated above the water. And even there, if the water there could be less than 10 tefachim over there, because it won't get stuck over there. We know that boats won't go where it's less than 10 tefachim because they're going to get stuck. But here, with the end of the boat, which is not so deep in, there it might go to an area that's within 10 tefachim from the ground. And therefore, if you fill up water from the top, from the front of the boat, you, again, in that case, you're going to be carrying from a karmelis to Rosh HaSayachit. So he said, no, even in such a case. Amar Rav Safra, Geshushi Azakama. There's what's called probers that go in front of the boat. And that is, these people that go and they use these poles to figure out the depth of the water, and they never let the ship get anywhere near that's not too deep, because maybe the ship is going to go there and it's going to get stuck over there where it's less than 10 tefachim deep, and therefore even the front of the ship is never going to be in the area that's less than 10 tefachim deep, because they have these people specially to figure out the depth of the seawater. But now the Gemara goes and asks on the other mandama. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok l'Rav Chiya bar Oven. They say you have to make an area of 4 tefachim with walls surrounding it on the outside of the boat, and then you can fill up water from there. So the question is as follows: Sheifchin the day regarding the wastewater of the boat, that is all the dirty water that they have where they washed out the cups and the plates with. So they obviously hold that the whole sea has a status of karmelis, as we explained before, because they say that the surface of the water is where the karmelis starts, and that's where the airspace starts them. So according to them, the wastewater, hey chashadli, how do you throw it overboard? You can't hold on to it because it stinks, it smells. Only that many vessels you could use to hold on to it. Now, how are you going to throw it out? You're going to be throwing from a Rosh HaSayachid to a karmelis, because the sea on the surface and going up, which the walls of the ship are within 10 tefachim from the surface of the water, is a karmelis. So, and if you're going to say, oh, the same way you draw the water, that's how you're going to throw it out, and that where you made these walls and you have an area of 4 tefachim, so that's Rosh HaSayachid, and the area under it in the sea is also Rosh HaSayachid. But then, Meisile, you're going to make the water that's there disgusting. And now that's the place where you want to draw fresh water from, but that's where you draw all the dirty water from. You can't use the same area to spill out the dirty water where you get the fresh water. So the Gemara answers, the Shadilahu Adafna Desvina, that they threw out the dirty water on the walls of the ship. And that is, wherever they want to, on any wall, you spill it onto the wall, and then it slopes down into the water. And that is, you're not throwing it into the karmelis, it's going on the wall, and the wall's taking it down. But then the Gemara asks, but Boyeka Kaiche, you still have the force of the person. That I understand they didn't throw it straight into the sea, but from his force, it came into the sea, and that's also to do. So what does it help that you put on the wall, and through the wall it rolled down? Now the Gemara answers, koiche bekarmelis lo gazru, that this concept of koiche, of force, that's something that you didn't do, but your force caused it to happen, and now you put it on the wall, and that caused it to go into the sea, regarding a rabbinic area as a karmelis, the rabbanu would not gazru to include koiche also, only direct transfer. As the Gemara on the next stop is going to explain, a proof from where do we see this, that koiche, regarding force, that we weren't gazru by karmelis, and it's only actual transfer into rabbinic area as karmelis, that you're going to be chayfo.